Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
I want you to take a moment and think of the 80s. Whether you were alive then or not, the music that's playing in your head right now, that's Duran Duran. And it's not just their sound that defined a decade. It's their look, their videos, and most of all, their attitude.
I first discovered Duran Duran on MTV. You know, a couple of their videos were banned, and we didn't have the internet to go see, you know, how filthy it actually was. So we just had to leave that up to our imagination, which was just even more thrilling.
When Dana Jolove was coming of age, Duran Duran was the hottest thing on MTV. So much so that fans like her didn't just have the hots for the lead singer, they were absolutely obsessed with the bass player. In fact, John Taylor probably introduced more teenage girls to puberty than sex ed.
He's got short hair and it's kind of dyed maroon, and he's wearing new wavy kind of clothes, so like a ruffly kind of shirt and maybe a vest. He's got his arms crossed and he has a giant watch on. This is the poster I saw day in and day out, you know, walking in and out of my teenage bedroom for years. That look was sort of definitive of the 80s for sure.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, tales of diehard Duranis, whose passion for the hunky bassist was hungry like the wolf. One, a fan who wrote erotic fantasies about John Taylor. And the other, up first, a fan whose dream of meeting the real John Taylor looked like it might finally come true.
I thought it was going to be the greatest moment of my life.
Here's Dana Jolove, recorded at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland.
Hi. I am Dana, and I grew up in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. For middle school, I attended a private school. It was an Episcopalian school called Holy Innocence. And for high school, I decided to get away from there as fast as I could and go to the local public school. The transition from middle school to high school was extremely difficult for me. I went from an eighth grade class with a population of 32 students to a freshman class of 975. There was one saving grace in my life, and that was a particular band, and specifically its bass player, that kept me going. And I just want to say, my daughter is 15, and she is in the audience, and and this is 1984 when I was 15. Dear Journal, there's this movie out called The Outsiders. I've seen it 3 times so far. Woo-wee! There are 7 of the most gorgeous guys I have ever seen. There's one that I am madly in love with, though. His name is Rob Lowe. He is so cute. He dates Melissa Gilbert. Little whore on the prairie. My life is devoted to him and Duran Duran. My favorite is John Taylor. His real name is Nigel John Taylor. God, is he a fox? Well, gotta go, Dana. Dear journal, oh, yuck. Last night I spent the night at a friend's house and I had my period for the first time. Oh my God. Disgustioso. Bleh. Grody. Gag me like yuck. Scummy. Well, gotta run, Dana. Dear journal, I hate my French class. Oh, and also, I ran across my first friends on drugs. They all smoke pot. Regularly. I will never try it. I really don't belong at this school. I just want holy innocence back. I got the new Duran Duran record. It's called Seven and the Ragged Tiger. I love John Taylor so much. I love him and I've never even met him. It's pitiful, I know. I just can't resist his face or his personality or his body. This Christmas, it'll be over a year that I have liked them. That's a record, I'm sure. I've thought endlessly about killing myself, but I can't do it. I just wish something would kill me instantly. I don't want to suffer. I just want to die. But I want to die after Duran Duran comes and I meet John and we have sex. Well, gotta go, Dana. P.S. I love John. Dear journal, today my mom broke the news to me that she made me an appointment for a doctor. Not terrible, you're thinking, right? Well, this is a shrink. I can't believe it. Just because I mention the word suicide, they spaz out. I admit it, though. I have thought about it. I mean, not killing myself, but what would happen if I did? Well, my mom told me, and I refused to go. She and my dad and I talked about it, and she's canceling the appointment. I can't believe her, but my dad said he cried while eating lunch today. Well, gotta go, Dana. Dear journal, yesterday, D squared tickets went on sale. I got awful seats. My dad said he knows someone that might be able to get me into the rehearsals. I would die. Maybe John will come talk to me. I want him so badly. Me in the same room with John Taylor. I love it. That whole concept excites me. Maybe I'll have the chance to invite him over to my hot tub. If so, I'd want him to see my poster. Well, gotta go, Dana. Dear journal, I'm so confused. I'm not sure if I like school or not. The boy that asked me out still likes me. And the way I see it, I have two choices. I can use him for practice for John Taylor. Or I can just be friends with him. Well, gotta go, Dana. P.S. I love John Taylor. Dear journal, 3 more days. I'm so excited. I can't wait. My parents rented a white limo to take us to the concert. I dyed my hair pink. And I have my whole outfit picked out. I am wearing a pink leather miniskirt, a white shirt, a pink leather tie, pink stockings, a pink sweater, and white shoes. Well, gotta go, Dana. Dear journal, oh my God, the concert was excellent. The limo turned out to be black and the driver was white. John is such a tease. He was so gorgeous, even more than in pictures, and I love him so much. At the end of the concert, I went over to this place where they were cleaning off the stage, and a security guard was holding a stuffed dog. And there were all these girls screaming at him to throw it to them. And so I just stood there quietly, and I gave the guy a pitiful smile. Then he threw it to me. I think John touched it. I now have it in my closet. Its name, Nigel. I had a great time. Well, gotta go, Dana. Dear Journal, well, it's finally here. I only have 4 more days left of school. My freshman year is over. I can't believe how fast this year went by. I really hope I don't watch my high school life pass before my eyes like it's nothing. I can't help but wonder what I'm gonna be like in the end. Will I be more mature? Am I still gonna have short hair? Am I gonna be fat? I wish I could see ahead so I could know what to expect. Oh well, I guess I'll just have to wait and see. Gotta go, me.
Whereas Dana waited months to see John Taylor, our next reader saw him whenever she wanted, in her dirty, filthy mind. Let's put it this way. If the Beatles had Yoko Ono, Duran Duran had Gillian Griffiths. Here she is on stage in Brooklyn at Littlefield.
Hi. My name is Gillian Griffiths. Okay, so when I was 13, I was obsessed. Well, my parents were going through a very chilly divorce. And to escape that, I turned to MTV and music and everything like that. And at the time, Duran Duran was really big. And I became obsessed with Duran Duran. So my best friend and I used to write these fantasy stories, pages and pages. And I'd write them and she'd give them to her for her to read. And then she'd, you know, do the same thing. And she was like, wow, yours are really weird. But anyway, but the thing about my stories is that I wrote them and I truly, truly believed that these were possible. So, you know, I was, like I said, I was 13. I was sexually inexperienced. So here we go. Some family vacation. My parents and I go away and rent a condo for just one weekend. Some little assholes were playing around with firecrackers, and it got out of control. They threw it in our garbage, which caught fire and lit the whole condo on fire, with my sleeping parents in it. I was out at a bar trying to meet someone nice when I was told my parents had died in a fire from smoke inhalation. At the hospital, I sat in the waiting room with my face buried in my hands. I heard voices walking by. I looked up and I saw John, Roger, and Andy Taylor from Duran Duran. John stopped and looked and stared at me. He started following me. What a weird situation. My parents, who loved me and raised me, have just died. And my future, full of happiness, was following me. I don't know whether to break down and cry or rejoice. I caught a glimpse of John peeping from behind a corner watching me. I laughed to myself. John came over and sat down. My palms got all sweaty. Care to tell me why you're here? He said. My parents died in a fire while we were vacationing here. He replied with the usual, I'm really sorry, but it made me feel a lot better. My father had a mild heart attack, and that's why I'm here. I hope he feels better soon. John offered me a ride to a hotel and invited me to lunch the next day. I wore my powder blue spring overalls with a blouse. Simon joined us. It was really fun, and it took my mind off my parents. Afterwards, we decided to walk along the river. John clasped onto my hand, and we strolled along the path. Just the three of us. I felt as if my life was now complete. We went back to their penthouse and went onto the balcony with a bottle of wine. And John said, I'm worried about you. What a guy, I thought. How about staying with us? We have plenty of room. Simon was getting excited too. I said no at first, but they made me change my mind. Nick seemed to like me, so he liked the idea of me moving in. And then he said, John really likes you. You've known each other for just a day, and he hasn't stopped talking about you. I can tell you guys are gonna last. Most of John's girlfriends, the few he's had, were all snots and stuck-up bitches. None of us, me, Simon, Roger, Andy, we never liked them, especially Simon. But you're different. You're very nice and pretty. Nothing is gonna stand in John's way from winning you over anybody else who comes along. But I can tell Simon likes you too. Then it was time for bed. So where am I gonna sleep tonight, I asked John. In bed, of course, with me. That is, if you don't mind. No, of course I don't mind, but will the others? Nah, they won't care at all. John was lying on the bed, smiling at me in a very sexy and eager way. He poured a glass of wine, and we both drank from it at the same time. Kinky, huh? We looked deep into each other's eyes, and alas, our lips came closer. Our tongues met in a fascinating sensation. Our tongues danced, jumped, and twisted around in our mouths, which were all a-running inside. Those are lyrics. Our kiss was slow and beautiful. Not like the ones you see in dirty movies when everything is fast and complicated, not to mention gross. He turned down the lights and started unbuttoning his shirt. This is too quiet. We need some music. He got up and turned on the Rio album. He climbed on top of me like a baby tiger. Gentle, but sort of aggressive. By now, everything was off except for his bandana. And we started to make love. So what if the flow of his body wasn't in beat with the music? He created a wonderful performance which lasted one whole side of Rio and plus the other side up to Save a Prayer. Everything went slowly, even when we reached the farthest point of intercourse. He pushed harder, but it felt so good. Finally, our lovemaking came to a stop, and John rolled off of me. In the kitchen the next morning, Simon greeted me full of pep. I was surprised he didn't have a hangover. No, I'm used to it, he said. So you really like John, huh? I mean, oh, never mind, he said with a sigh. How about going to the beach? Sure, I replied. He knew a private beach, so we were just about the only people on it. This was the first time I really got a look at that tan, muscular body. I asked Simon to put some suntan lotion on my back. He started massaging my back so gently, and then he picked me up and ran right into the cold water. Finally, he just held me and looked longingly at my lips. I could see his eager tongue moving around inside his mouth, and then I felt it inside of my mouth. He used his tongue almost as good as John. Let's get out of here, he said. We went straight home and went straight to bed. I couldn't believe what I was doing. He undressed me and himself. We had some really mean sex, and after it was all over, me and Simon talked. Please, don't tell John we ever did this. I just don't want him or anybody else to know. Simon understood and promised not to tell and that it won't happen again, even though we both loved it. I missed John so much. I missed his security, his strength, his love. We were all out at dinner one night, and as we were walking to the car, a total jackass came zooming by and hit dear John. He was unconscious. Roger ran to call an ambulance. At the hospital, the doctor came out and said, we've done everything I could. Just so sorry. I went hysterical. I ran into Simon's open arms. All the guy's eyes were flooded with tears. "You know he loved you," Nick said soothingly. We went in to see him. I looked at John lying there, so helpless with tubes coming out of his arms. "What's the use?" I screamed to myself. His face was so innocent, and so was he. "God, if you can hear me, please listen. This wonderful, religious person has done nothing to deserve this pain. Neither have I. I love him and he loves me. Create some miracle so this person, this human being, may live." Simon had tears rolling down his face. It was over. I no longer had anything to live for in my life. But then I felt a twitch in John's hand. He was trying to squeeze my hand. "I love you. I love you," he spoke. "He's gonna make it," shouted the doctor. "There must have been a small miracle." John whispered, "Before I fall asleep, I wanted to know if you wanted to marry me." It came out slow, but I understood it. "Yes, I would love to marry you."
That was Jillian Griffiths, and before that, Dana Jo LaVey, sharing their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And that concludes today's episode, where we learn the best way to seduce a teen heartthrob is by inviting him to your hot tub, or by letting him climb on top of you like a baby tiger. To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear in a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. If your company would like to support our podcasts, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. And here to read the closing credits in today's episode is our fabulous intern, Madeline Kenyon, whose last day on the podcast is today.
Woohoo! Our podcast production team for this episode includes Pooja Bhatt, Paul Smith, Dave Nadelberg, Neil Katcher, and myself, Madeline Kenyon. Egan Danahy's story produced this for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke.
You can do it!
Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survive.
Woo! We love you, Madeline!
Thank you! I love you, too!